All right, we're in Genesis, and I'm on page 12 in my outline. I'm not sure if you're on the same page. No, we finished that. I'm way on. Forgive me. We went through the gap.
See day 2, Genesis 1, 6 to 8.
There we are. Genesis 1, 6 to 8. Excellent. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us again tonight to be able to catch up on some things. Just keep us on schedule. Lord, we know things are going to come up, but it's really good to be able to just get into your word, get some answers, and Lord, challenge the way we think and the way we live. So teach us tonight, Lord. May it not just be words. May it be your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. All right. First thing you're going to notice is the dividing of waters. Now, God has two bodies of water. He creates a huge envelope. Call it a bubble. And he makes the earth right in the middle. And what is the earth made out of at that point? It says water. Okay. So we've got water here. Spinning ball of water. Is there land underneath the water? Possibly. I go so far as to say that he brings forth land out of the water, so it might mean the water develops into land or that there's land under the water. Not sure. But there's water on the earth, and then it says, take that water and surgically separate a layer and stretch it out over the earth. So there's water on the earth, and then there is a layer now of water above the earth. Do you see that or not? Is that what you see? God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. So I'm on verse 6, chapter 1 and verse 6. So if you've got a planet here, God says, let there be a firmament. What's outside of the earth? What's this called?
An expanse.
Okay, an expanse, a firmament. There is an empty space out here in outer space, okay? Outer space, empty, correct? Has God made the stars yet?
No.
No. So we got, and what was this place called? Heaven. Okay, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, okay? Day 2, God comes along and takes a layer of water from the earth and moves it out above the earth so that there now is another expanse. Do you see that? Now, this is totally unscientific because the scientists haven't come up with this yet. And yet God did. God blew a bubble under this layer of water. What's still on the earth? What is still there?
Water.
So we have water still here. And then we have a layer of water here. And what does God call this expanse?
Yes, heaven.
No.
Heaven.
He says, and he called it heaven. So wait a minute. He made a heaven here, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He made a heaven here.
Heaven.
And then outside of all this thing, there's where God is. So no wonder people get confused. Now, you can't chalk that God's the one, the author of confusion. It's just that people won't rightly divide. Which heaven are you talking about when you're saying, I'm going to heaven? Neil Armstrong went to heaven, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Every time you get an airplane, you're flying in heaven. Different heavens. Paul said, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, about 14 years ago, I cannot tell, he says, I can't discern whether he was in the body or out of the body, that went to the third heaven. So, you're seeing a very simple explanation of what is taking science so long to catch up on. So he's divided the waters. There's water on the earth, the oceans, be water above the earth, forming a canopy and possibly an expanding shell of water to the outer extremities of the universe. I don't know how to take that, because there has been water on Mars. There has been water on all these other planets. And there's a curious theory there. I won't go there. But let me just keep going. Number 2. Very quickly.
Is there a spiritual war in heaven?
or was there, or will there be in heaven, the third heaven?
All right, you asked too many questions. Which one do you want to ask?
Is there a spell to what, like between good angels and?
Not now.
Is there going to be in, like, in the third heaven? Is it all, did it happen before?
Not anymore. It already happened. There will be a war here, and there will be chunks of planets cast down to the earth during the tribulation, during Revelation chapter 13. Yes, he will draw stars, not angels. He will draw stars or space stuff and throw it down onto the earth. Yes.
So, like, was there one in heaven?
Yes, at the time of the fall of Lucifer. Yes.
No, when Jesus said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my walls shall not pass away.
Right. Which one? This heaven. And this earth will be done away, and there will be a new heaven, not this heaven.
I wonder, will there be a new third heaven because, like, there was sin happened up there? Do you know?
Very briefly. It happened up there very briefly.
It was only briefly to happen in the camp, like, you know, but...
And he kicked him out.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, you have a theory. I wouldn't say that God has to recreate this place. Anytime sin ever happened here, he kicked him out. Okay? Anytime sin happens here, God's only going to destroy this. For God to destroy that, I haven't seen it in Scripture. Okay, so the first firmament, what is the firmament? Between the waters, there was made a gap. Here's this word again. This is the only gap I find in the Bible, okay, besides the ones between here and here. There's a gap here. There's a gap between the earth and this canopy. So,
does it know he's got one gap?
Say again, does it talk? Well, when I say a gap, I'm just using my own word. Now you have water here and water there. Now I find only one other place where there is a division, and it says there's no more sea, no more water. Why would it use the word sea, water? And then, and from God's point of view, evidently it is frozen, like a sea of glass. So I'm wondering, and it's a theory, I'm wondering if he's referring to a layer here of water that divides where we exist and where God is. And God breaks through that at some point, and there's no more sea, there's no more division between where God is and we are. So I'm theorizing, and a lot of people do, that there's a layer of water there. There was a layer of water here. On Noah's day, it came crashing down. It rained for 40 days.
But isn't the outer layer there? Or that separates us from God, isn't that what?
You have a problem because you have to move this water that's on earth all the way out to the edge of the universe, which is kind of funny. Because he calls the second layer, he calls this layer here, this water to this water, what does he call this?
Heaven.
Okay, but he's already created a heaven without stars, correct?
Yeah.
All right, what Barry is getting at is there is the idea and there's a possibility, and I don't say not. There is a possibility that God created this water and then just shoved it to the end, and then the water, the gap between the surface of the water of the planet all the way to the edge is the only heaven that there is. Okay? And yet, so even though air goes only about 65 miles up, and then you're in outer space, that's all one heaven. But I disagree with that, because it says the birds of heaven, and birds don't fly out in this heaven. And Paul says the third heaven. So I find a gap, one heaven, outer space, second heaven. After this dividing line, a third heaven. So it seems to fit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So how would you account for the water coming down there? If you had that theory where it's all the way
yeah.
out, how would you account for the water coming down? I know
that's
the
right.
atmosphere contains water.
But it can't contain 40 days worth of water. That's right. So now you're into, again, I say, I test all these things, and I haven't thought of all the reasons in a while. But you read stuff, and people have got all kinds of ideas. Ideas are never wrong. Always just test them, okay? Very quickly.
That big circle is the edge
of the universe. This is the outer, this is the universe.
So, which is, are you saying, no, the circle part, is that, no, the big one, the heaven,
yeah.
is that water?
There's a layer of water between our universe and where God is.
There is?
It's a theory. Okay, I've never been there, but I'm guessing it's the only way I can make sense of it.
Is that water you're talking about, that layer? Did you say it was when you say a layer of glass, do you mean ice?
Ice.
Or do you just mean...
It says a sea of crystal, and it's like frozen water. The only way I can understand it is that it is frozen water. I may be wrong, but it seems to make sense. Again, some of these things are so advanced, we can't begin to imagine. We can only begin to just touch the scratch surface, and it makes sense. So just take it as a theory that makes a lot of sense.
Where it seems to mean literal.
assume the crystal. If it says crystal, it must be crystal.
No, it doesn't say, it says as crystal.
Ah, that's okay.
Okay, it doesn't say crystal. It says as. We'll get there, all right? We'll look at it at some point. Now, there's a gap or an empty space between the two waters, and that expanse God placed an atmosphere, our heaven, air which we breathe, which is 30% oxygen, 70% nitrogen, which is unbelievable. The way that our atmosphere is designed is unbelievable. Or else, do you know if our atmosphere was 100% oxygen, we would die because everything would burn all the time. A forest fire would just, you would not be able to stop a forest fire if you had 100% oxygen. There was a spacecraft called Apollo 1 back in 1961, I think. It was their first mock-up. They were in there just testing out. They had 11 miles of wire inside this little capsule for three guys. They're sitting in there, and one guy flips the switch, and a spark goes off. It was 100% oxygen inside that capsule. Unfortunately, somebody really did a good job on the door, and they made it so it took 6 minutes to open the door. They really made it really good so no oxygen would empty out. But during that 6 minutes that they were in there, and they were screaming, get us out, they burned up. And all inside that spacecraft, because it was 100% oxygen. Guess, only one guess. Guess, Apollo 2, guess how much oxygen they left inside the capsule. 30% oxygen, 70% nitrogen. They went back to God's design. They thought, more oxygen, more smart. Yeah, more dead. Anyway, above the expanse of air was now a layer of water, and above that was the outer another expanse called the main firmament, also called heaven. It all used to be one and the same, but now it's divided by a layer of water. The idea seems to be that the water stretched throughout the universe as it was expanding rapidly at this point, with the outer edge of the water being frozen and a barrier between the universe and God's heaven. Notice how the firmament was stretched at the creation and is still stretching in expansion. Psalm 102, verse 4. Graham.
104, verse 2.
Did I say 104, verse 2? I'm sorry.
Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain.
All right. Stretchest. Whenever you see ETH, EST, what are you saying?
Present tense.
Present tense. It's as if saying stretching. So the universe is moving. It is in motion. And guess what the astronomers have found out? It's all moving up there. Everything is in motion. The Bible is pretty advanced. Isaiah 40:22. Tony.
Is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth? The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretch out the heavens as a curtain and spread them out as a tent to dwell in.
Okay, so when you have tent, you know, a tent comes all packaged up, doesn't it? But if you're going to live in a tent, you're going to whatever, you're going to unfold it. And then stretch it out to its limits, prop it up, pull it taut. And this universe is being stretched out. Now when it says curtain, it's like a curtain. You're pulling it and stretching it so it's covering something. And all of those ripples. And what's funny, Scientific American is a magazine for eggheads, I know. But about 1979, they did something they should never have done. And that was they exposed what they really think. I think I still have the article. They said that in the universe, the stars are in shapes like this, in groups. In groups of clusters of galaxies that are like, and they use the word, like curtains, like folds of a blanket. They went, yes, I love my Bible. Job 26 in verse 7, Weston.
He stretched it out the north over the empty place and hang it day up upon nothing.
All right, again, it's present tense. It's happening. The idea is that at the first, God pretty well stretched out the universe from a central point near the earth to where it is now in just a few days. It is stretching out. but much more slowly, just like our skin, the older we get. It stretches, but not as much. Notice it was an entire day's work to do this. What did God do in one day? He stretched it out. So the dividing of the water took 24 hours, not an instant task. Evidently, a lot of things were taking place during the stretching out of the universe. Day 3, verse 9. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. And now, verse 9, let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind. You understand what that phrase means, don't you? Corn produces corn after his kind. And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were now the third day. So you've got the gathering together of the water. So God, only God can do this, sort of just piles up the water over here, and then there's land over on the other side.
Where did the land come from?
All right, two thoughts. All right, now I've read both. You should read some. There's a guy that works for Answers in Genesis, and he says water is the basic elements of the universe, and from there you can make everything because of the hydrogen. So, or the other theory is that there was under the water there was land. So there was this big rock that we call the earth, just completely covered by water. All right, and so God sort of scoops all the water over here and then builds up the land so that it's like this, and you get one continent. They used to call it Pangaea. Yes, sir?
So the land wasn't...
It was under the water.
It wasn't created by water, so...
I kind of think it's very possible that the God... Now, it says that the land appeared. So it's kind of like if you move water away, the land's there. Mm-hmm. So either one works. I don't have a problem with either one of them. But it's just a theory that, you know, from the water, God created the land. You're going to see some wild stuff in this description in a few minutes when you let it talk, as it really says. And as a scientist... You've got to start accepting the Bible over science because it's more advanced. Yes.
So was the land, so now when the flood happened, was that when the continents, all the countries came up, or broke up?
During the flood? During Noah's flood, yes.
Yes. So all stuck together.
So before the flood, you had a planet where it was half water and half land. All right? Up until Noah's day, after the flood, it splits. Okay? And there were land bridges between England and Ireland, and that all slowly changed. All right, so the gathering together of the waters. God can change the physics of water and matter. Jesus walked through closed and locked doors, didn't he? Jesus walked on top of water. Look at Exodus 15:8, Eric. Exodus 15:8. Watch how God talked about Noah's flood. Standing water on top of itself is pretty hard to do. Unless you put it in the container. But God was able to stand it upon itself. 15:8.
And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea.
What does it mean, congealed?
Blood congeals, it sort of goes jelly like.
It gets thick, like jelly. Exactly. So all of a sudden, while they're walking along, I see some kid sort of just scoot away from his dad and go and touch the water. Like it would be a big bowl of jelly. So that's what happened there. God's able to change the physics of matter and of water.
Sounds like it reminds me of the flood stood upright as in heat.
Yes.
Just when you're on a beach, just before a tsunami takes place, where the water is sucked back out.
Agreed, but you have to hold it there.
Yeah.
it's like that for at least 10 hours. So it's not... I know what you're saying, where all of a sudden the water is this wall,
yeah.
But that wall is moving and it is still very liquid. Here, it uses the very same words there, 14, what was the verse? 15:8. It says, and with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. And God sort of just pulled them together and says, now stay there. and it's just a phenomenal thing to think about scientifically. Yes, sir?
Liquid water, it's just a water baptism.
No, be careful not to connect all connections of water. Just because it's water, 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 they may not have a connection. Say again?
Is there any connection there? Like, you get saved, then the water baptism is...
water is necessary for life. That's as far as I can go. And so everywhere you go, there's water. And it has to do with, when I'm baptized in water, it is God could have said, get baptized in sand.
Yeah, yeah.
But what if you're up in Eskimo land, you know, or you're someplace, water is everywhere.
Is that they put in the picture that I'm known as a living come up?
Yes, but you can get baptized in the sand, bury them in sand, now let them up.
Yeah, but God created everything at the beginning.
Yes.
So they know
I'm for you, I'm just saying, I don't know, you can start to see all the reasonings,
yeah.
And that's great, it's called typology, where you follow the types in the Bible, the shadows of reality, but you can spend a lot of time doing that.
Right.
All right.
Sorry, so that congealed then, is that the argument for the Red Sea, when it was up? Remember, you said them touching it was going like this.
That's right, that is the argument. That God stood it up.
This is talking about the Red Sea when it was part
of Yeah, you didn't know that, sorry.
No, I didn't know that.
That's the Red Sea.
Oh, yes, it's actually this one. Yeah, I thought it was I thought it was
You're telling too many bad jokes and it ruined your brain.
No, when we were good, when I was doing the outlines, I never seen.
All right, now. Get out of the third heaven, get down on the land here. Number two, let's quickly go. The appearance of dry land, was it under the water? Probably not, but it's just what I prefer. I just like thinking that God just made. Because you're going to see some connections. I'll tell you how it works in a moment, how things come out of things. They actually created out of it. It seems that God brought forth land out of the water, and I got you a couple of scriptures. Look at Psalm 136 in verse 6. That's you, Brother Dean. Psalm 136 in verse 6. That's not the great one, but go ahead.
To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endure forever.
All right. Do you see? What does it say? Where was the water?
The water was over the earth.
And then he says he stretched out the earth
over the water.
No, he's saying stretched out over the
above the
sorry.
All right.
Mountains we're talking about.
Yeah,
above
but okay.
Continents moving.
All right, but he stretched out. He didn't raise up. It says he stretched out the earth above the waters.
There's water on it, Joe.
Now, yes. You see, every time you read and you study, you learn something new. We actually know that there is water. The great deeps. There is water under the earth, at least until the flood. As a matter of fact, it's still there. That's how come there are caverns down there that are. We've only gone down 7, 8, 9 miles. What's it like 25 miles down? But there is a layer of water under the earth. Okay, so there's dirt. Then there's a layer of water somewhere there, and he stretched out. The construction of the words are, God created the land above water, correct? But just the verses before, there was only water before, correct? So I'm saying, when you study, don't bring preconceived ideas. Oh, there must have been rock under the water. Well, it says he stretched out the land, the earth, above water. All right, there's a possibility. Again, I like just playing things out, and we're a Bible Institute. This is not church, so we're not just causing all kinds of confusion. It's just fun. But this layer of water here in the earth, it sounds like God laid a layer of water, a layer of earth above a layer of water. Who had a hand up?
Yes. So he started with water,
mm-hmm.
And then he put earth above that, and then the expanse.
Now, the scientists say, that can't be. I can't fully explain it, but it sure is exactly like we find it today. Not that there's water all the way down to the center of the earth, okay? But I'm just bringing that, where'd that earth come from? Where'd the ground come from? God didn't just move across the oceans from, God did not just move the oceans from one side to reveal the land underneath, I don't think. He gathered the waters together from hydrogen and oxygen, and he made land. Here we have one main continent land, not the seven continents that we see today. Later on, about 1,700 years later, the continents will split up under the waters of another flood.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know it's the seven continents now, and they've all those 18 and seven, they have seven colors of the rainbows, 7 days of the week, and all this.
Yeah.
So, do you know normally let the flood happen? He was in control of it as well, wasn't he? It was his will to have seven continents.
Be careful, because continents are a funny thing. All right. Do you see seven continents here? I don't. All right.
You have a land mass, we call that a continent. Continent. This land mass a continent. Is that not a continent? No, not according to England. Is this a continent? Yes. And yet, most people call the continent of Europe and the continent of Asia, but they're all connected, aren't they? So seven was a construction of the British.
So
they call that a continent.
So like the seven continents, that's men's.
That's man's number. So don't worry about the fact that we called it seven.
I'm
all right. I know the number. You need to do some studies on what's called typology. You would love it, but you also get burned out because everybody's got a different idea.
Well, to be honest, I just thought in my head it was the Bible, Tom, or something. It's only man's.
That's only man's.
Okay,
that one is only man's. At the word of God, look at verse 11. Back in Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed in the fruit tree." So you've got dirt bringing forth life. Sounds like, but you're going to see it's the exact opposite in a few minutes. In verse 12 says, "And the earth brought forth grass." I mean, when God says it, everything obeys, amen, except man. So the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. God saw that it was good. So out of the dead ground came living things. Grass, which is the most abundant form of vegetation, feeds most of life on earth, either in seed form or in grass form. Herbs are more advanced form of food, like salads. And then fruit trees, the best forms of food are apples, oranges, grapes. Isn't it funny how the diet of the modern man is everything except fruit and nuts and seeds? And yet it's the most important thing to be eating. Number B. These may sound like simple things, but life is the most complex of things. Life is completely impossible, and yet here we are. Now notice the words "after his kind." There's no possibility of evolution here because the first living things created were plant kind. They were not amoebas and viruses and things. Yes, sir?
Well, it's just something I'm looking at. There's always a big issue about kind.
Yep.
The atheists will say what...
Like, what is a kind? And I'm going to show you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
God created everything with only the ability to produce after their own kind, not after their own species. We'll talk about that in a moment. The system for the classification of life is as follows. The Bible is silent about lots of explicit information. Evidently, God wants us to figure some stuff out on our own. Amen? So, modern science shows in the center, you have kingdom, like the animal kingdom, plant kingdom. That's just a huge group. Then you have phylum. Don't worry about what that means, okay? You have class, which would be like you're a animal kingdom mammal. That's your class. Now, some of you don't have any class, but that's okay. The order is, are you a man-eating mammal? Are you an herb-eating mammal? Or are you like Bear Grylls and you're an insect-eating mammal, okay? That's a good joke. I just came up with it. I like it. I'm telling you, how do I come up with them? Your family... Your family.
Is that a joke?
Your family may be you're a dog, a cat, a horse, or a human, or a whale. Your genus, don't worry about that one. Your species may be, you may be Negroid, Caucasian, or Mongoloid. But the Bible calls all of those things kind. So, here I have, let's take a Noah. Noah has got to build an ark capable of holding two of each kind. Does it mean he has to have two of every kind of cat? Siamese cats, ugly cat, really ugly cat. Is that how he is? Or does he have to have only two cats?
Two cats.
Did you know if you start, and they've actually figured this out from genetics, if you start from two wolves and they're purebred, over generations of breeding, you can come up with every dog there is. You have to start with a wolf to create a domesticated dog. But if you start with a poodle, you can't end up with a wolf. Because a poodle is the end of it. It's such a worthless creature.
No, that was funny. And then you'd have a blind walk and roll.
They'd make a movie about it. Look, that's what kind is. Kind is general, okay? You only need a few humans to be able to deal with all the different types of humans. You only need a few cats, a few dogs, to be able to come up with all the variations.
Because of the DNA.
The DNA is so well designed, there's no way to even begin to touch it.
Yeah, but how do you get... Three cats,
And because of their DNA, or
that's
their
it.
Genes, and then they just change and change and change and change.
It's different combinations.
Of all the breeding in 15th century England under Charles the First. He wanted a dog that was domesticated, it was pleasant, it loved children, it would be very protective of children, and they created the King Charles Cavalier. How they created? Breeding. The beautiful brown and white or black and white, it had never been seen before, and it was in the genes of the dogs that they were breeding. Nobody had ever seen a King Charles Cavalier. It wasn't just on the horizon, and they captured it, brought it home. They had to breed it. So it's in the genes to produce that of other dogs. So that's the kind. So God just said kind, like cat kind, or dog kind, or mankind. Hello. So he divides life up into its distinct groups called kinds. A kind is any living thing that can mate with another and produce. So a kind has to be able to reproduce among itself. Yep. Mules and horses are not the same kind. Does that make sense? Okay. Here's a basic rule.
You mean that they can mate with another of its own kind?
Yeah. Somebody within its region, yeah. As long as it's a mammal. Of the same type,
yeah.
Okay? Number G. Now, here's a basic rule. Like begets like. We say birds of a feather flock together. Well, an apple tree will bring forth apples. Apple seeds are found in the fruit known as apples. In the spiritual realm, we find that Christ begets Christians. His seed remains in us, doesn't he? Therefore, we are to bear fruit after our kind. Now, we're not supposed to be winning sinners. We're supposed to be winning sinners. We don't produce sinners. We produce like our kind.
Yeah, but we produce sinners when we're mildly like.
Number E, day 4, verse 14. And God said, let there be, back in Genesis 1:14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, divide the day by night. And let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Wasn't there light already?
Yes.
Now we have natural light. We have sunlight. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And I love how he says, and he made the stars also. P.S. I made all the other things that are out there. God set them in the firmament of the what? Did he put it in the atmosphere? No, it would have burned up the atmosphere. Put it out there in another heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So here now, in the second firmament, you have the universe as we know it. This firmament is not empty. It has something that stretches and is pulled by gravity. And in this firmament, God made lights, all the stars, but primarily, for us, the most important ones, the lights are the moon and the sun. Now, the lights in the heaven are for the purpose of signaling. Notice he said for signs. The sun signals it's daytime, amen? Moon usually represents, no, that's a light for the night. So, lights are to signal time, days, seasons, and years. What if you lived in Antarctica, or way up in northern Alaska, and for 3 months out of the year you didn't see the sun? It'd be very hard if you didn't have an accurate watch to know what time it is. Do you know, the clock as we know it was invented in late 1300s. Before that, there was no way to keep accurate time. The most accurate time was designed by a monk, and it was run by water, and he had to make it so that there were so many buckets pouring into each other before it ran through a series of little dials and things, and it would come and would tick, tick, keep this clock, and it would be accurate to about an hour a week by running water. And so he's constantly having to go and look and see what time the sun was showing up and adjust his clock. It was absolutely crazy. We take for granted our clocks are so accurate. I mean, our phone, you know, is constantly updated by the signal you're getting from the, you know, the tower you're near. But time, if you were without the sun rising and setting, how would you know what time it is? You'd go demented.
Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Who named the stars and moon, Pastor? Is that like
data? Well, who named them?
Yeah.
This is statistic. Okay, God called the light day. He made the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I would figure he named it the sun. But the stars were named by man. Probably most of the stars, Adam probably looked up and says, you know, that's cool. It says in Jeremiah that he calls them all by name. So God already knows the names. But I think what he's saying is, when was it named so man knew the names? Is that what you're saying?
It says that God made a light. One is, light the day, which it's not saying here. It is the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, it made, verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. What is that?
Yeah, but it's not saying here.
He's not calling it by name, is what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so when was the sun named? Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible says, in Psalm 19, it says, in them, in the stars, God has made a tabernacle for the sun. So he refers to the name. Sun, we get the word sun from our German ancestors. Different cultures called it different words. I don't know that it, evidently God calls the day day and the night night, but he left the name of the star to us. That's as far as I. But God knows the name of every star. He likes naming things. Yes, sir.
No, it says signs. What like do I know? Jeez, the star father. Would the stars like kind of tell of times that going to happen as well? Like the both the Jews know the star.
Right.
So would it do that as well?
I think that star was an angel. Is my theory, okay? I think that was an angel because it moved.
What did it say? Yeah, I know, but did it say a star? What?
Yeah, it says a star. But if you read Revelation, it also talks about an angel. A star came and it was an angel. So sometimes, did you know if you look out in the stars, this is funny. If you look out in the stars, if you didn't have a little app, if you had an app on an iPhone like I do, you can put it up there and you can see, oh, that's not a star, that's a satellite, and it's stationary. It's got a camera watching me right now. It's called a spy satellite. But it's reflecting light. I can't tell the difference between the other ones. There are some stars that are actually angels. Yeah. So I think the star, even though it says and a star stood, as far as the observer, it was a star. But it turned out, it guesses to me, it has to be an angel. Quickly.
The wise men, they followed the star.
Because there was a star said in Numbers chapter 23 or whatever, a star would arise over Jacob. And to them, that was a star.
So
he was really high up, and then he came down and hovered over the place where he lay. Stars don't do that. Angels do. So an angel, for a star to come out of 25 light years away and then hover over the earth without burning us up, don't work.
So the stars don't tell us things on the time as well?
They actually do. There are stars that you only see during the winter, and there are stars that you only see during the summer. Okay? Stars can give you indication of what time of year you're in. If you go to New Grange, not New Grange, not New Grange, Stonehenge. Stonehenge has about 18 stones all in different positions. When they lay them out, those stones are positioned exactly for the rising of stars at certain times of the year. So they knew and they expected a star to rise up and they go, this is the beginning of harvest. When that star is right there at such a date, that's the beginning of planting. And they had it all calculated.
Future things,
I know. But that's kind of hard to deal with right now. Yeah, it's for that. They do show up. There are prophecies but it's just too deep. The sun ruled the day. See, the moon ruled the night along with the other stars. God says the moon is a reflector. Circle that. It is not self-radiating. We can't go there, but Job 25 is a great verse for the scientists to go. If you were a really dumb hillbilly, right in the Bible, like Job was, I'm joking, you would have said, look at how bright the moon is shining today. The moon must have its own light source, and yet Job says it is reflecting.
It was Bildad the Shuhite.
Oh, it's Bildad, okay.
And anyway, say that Abraham's face shine, but that's he got
Moses.
Or Moses, sorry, because he was with God.
That's right.
So that was
reflective. Reflective. Yes. Somebody should have been more imaginative to say, I'm sorry. So, the moon. God says the moon's a reflector. Number two, notice the shape of the sun and the moon are both round. So somebody should have been more imaginative to say that the earth is a ball.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. The earth is, why is, in the planets and our solar system, all of them are long,
That's right.
If there was a big bang,
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what you mean, but
maybe all different shapes.
The sun is round.
was naturally around Venus of...
Yeah, kind of complicated. Smaller objects actually are really lumpy. But once they get up so big, gravity makes them round.
What is it?
But yeah, there are some things called asteroids.
Yeah.
They look like popcorn.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not round.
So they have an answer basically for that. Sort of
so they'll come back to you. Yeah, unfortunately that doesn't help. Anyway... He made the stars also. I think, D, that is such an understatement. The Bible says the number of the stars, according to Jeremiah 33, is innumerable. The number of our stars in our galaxy is about 100 billion. The number of galaxies observed so far are about 100,000. But that doesn't mean they've seen them all. The sky is so vast that man just hasn't cataloged everything yet, and I don't believe he ever will. The number of galaxies that are probably out there, viewable with our telescope, stands at about 100 million, each one with 100 billion stars. And yet God knows them all by their name.
How far can we go? How far out can we go with the most powerful telescope on Earth?
Right, the most powerful one is actually in space. It's called Hubble. They're getting ready to put up another one called the Webb, W-E-E-B-B Space Telescope. It's going to be like 10 times more powerful than the Hubble. Right now, they say the distance from the Earth to the edge of the universe, and I don't believe them, but they say, because they use a very complicated math and a thing called a redshift measurement, which is very hard to do for long distances, but says from here to there is about 15 billion light years, between 14 to 15 billion years it would take for light to travel from there to there. So if you could travel the speed of light, it would take you 14 to 15 billion years to get to the edge. It's that big.
And that's just our universe, so we know.
That's where we are, yeah.
And how many universes? Is there 100?
No. You said universe. Galaxy.
Galaxy, sorry.
All right, a galaxy, like our Milky Way or Andromeda. So how far is it from one edge to the other?
No.
Of our galaxy or of the universe? What do you want to know?
Well, first of all, I want to know how far out can they see with the Hubble?
They say they can see stuff almost to the very edge, somewhere around 14 billion light years away. They say that. Now, it's all kinds of suspicions, all kinds of things that are unprovable. There's no way that they can prove that they do. So I kind of hold my breath. But I don't mind it being that far. I really don't. So
that means the light that they're saying is 14 billion
that's
years.
That's what they want to believe. And I want to say that light has a couple of different features. One is you cannot see that far. Light cannot exist that long. All right, I want to say that. Secondly, it's very possible that light slows down over time. All kinds of things that affect that number. I don't mind it. I don't care if it's a trillion light years. I don't care, because if God built it, he has to be that big. I mean, who would have created a planet? How does a being create just one planet? And if God is able to create a planet with life on it, he's able to create everything there is, no matter how big. So I have no problem with it being that big. I have a problem with scientists trying to prove that the universe has to have been here for 15 billion years. So God said that the stars were, Job 22:12 says, very high. I love those words. Implying that the stars were out near God. Can you figure people in Genesis chapter 11 trying to reach heaven when they said that they were going to build a tower up to heaven? They had no idea how far they would have to go. In Obadiah it says that they actually will try to get there. Sorry.
Like, God was in heaven, like, that was always there. So, like, did he make the earth, in a bit of an image of heaven, like, things that were in heaven, like grass and trees and all that?
Don't think so. There is a tree that produces 12 fruits in heaven, but it's actually in the New Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. You're asking some deep questions. Did he make the earth like it is in heaven? I never thought about it. I don't know. The variety of stars, should be stars, not starts, reflect God's creativity even in the biggest of things. I think I was pointing out there's a star. If you look at a constellation called Orion, we were over your house there, and it's got stars like this. And what it is there's a couple of stars up here. What you have is a hunter. And over on his right side, he has a hand and a bow. And the other hand, with the stars positioned, he has a sword. There's a belt across here, and then a sword sheath there. What is interesting is there's a star here called Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse is about 25 times bigger than our sun. But Betelgeuse is a tiny star compared to another star that's over called Arcturus. Arcturus is 100 times the size of our sun. So when God created, he created things different. He likes being creative.
So,
let's start. Are you saying Betelgeuse or Betelgeuse?
Betelgeuse.
Yeah, okay, we pronounce it
Betelgeuse
in
America. That's okay.
Right?
Like the film.
Yeah, I was just talking. You like the film. Forget films, they have no idea what they're using, okay? Number E, creation in the universe is ongoing. So God made the stars, but God is still making stars. He made man, but it's still going on, isn't it? Mankind's still producing, yes, sir.
So is he actually just farming all of these world, or is he just letting
the... No, the things that are here are producing more.
So like, how do they produce them? They exploding stuff and stuff?
Must be. I haven't figured it all out. I don't think the science has figured out how it happens, because it is such a big process. It's very complex. The universe is not some unchanging, static entity. It is moving and growing. And parts of it are dying and regenerating, and it's awesome. Now, one other thought. Here's what's called the day-age theory. Andrew Day-age theory.
Yeah,
he usually comes in at the end. He'll be here at 9. We ought to remind him. I wonder if he's even thinking about coming. So one theory that people tried to use to prove that the Earth is billions of years old is called the day-age theory. One version of this theory says that the creation days were 24-hour days, but then a long period of time would pass between each day. Isn't that sneaky? Mm. Instead of reading the Bible, okay, what's the end of the day, but then what happened during the night? It took millions of years until the next morning. What? That is a really lopsided Earth. The Earth is going... No, 24 hours, it's turning, so the night takes only as long as the day. But people write stuff, and other people believe it. Three. Oh, Barry likes
these,
that.
These guys are the scientists.
No, they're the theologians who are trying to please the scientists, trying to tell them, we're really smart, like, coming up with these things. However, notice that the plants were made on what day? And the sun was not created until, and it's not created until the fourth day. So, if a billion years, or even just 1 year, had to pass between day three and day four, the plants would have all frozen to death. You've got to have sunlight coming within another 12 hours. Do you understand? So it just can't work. So if a billion years, or even 1 year, passed between the time the plants were made and the sun was made, then all the plant life would have died out long before the sun started shining. Here we have yet another proof that the entire creation took place in one literal six-day period.
So how do they explain their ice age theory?
Okay, now ice age has to be connected to the flood. Only way it'll happen is in connection with the flood, not before the flood. Because you've got animals that were frozen in mid-chew of grass with water up to over their heads. They were frozen solid within a few moments. And that can only happen during or right at the end of the flood. It's at the beginning of the flood, sorry. You can only have that. You don't have an ice age happening at creation. There's no ice age there. It has to be during, at the time of Noah's flood.
Yeah, but
we'll talk about it later. How do they?
Yeah, how do they explain it?
They reject the, who's they? Scientists reject it. Scientists say that there was no flood.
Where's the freezing happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only one flood.
There's only one person who's come up with a valid explanation, and that's Kent Hovind. And it's fantastic. We'll talk about when we get over here in Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, we talk about the flood. All right, day 5. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. Make sure this is recording. Amen. And the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So, the waters of the oceans begin to produce living things. What did he use first to create living things? The earth. Let the earth bring forth grass. That was first in God's calendar. Then the next day, now the waters bring forth whales and birds. Huh. So birds can't be related to dinosaurs. Sorry. Yes, sir.
Yep.
just like, why did he create man then from the dust or the earth?
We'll go there when we get there.
Okay.
You're like a kid in the back seat. We'll get there when we get there. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, notice the waters of the oceans begin to produce living things. There's the first animal life. First one's whales. Notice just the first animal named. That's a little foreshadowing. A whale's going to be used later on. Other names were generic. Herbs, grass, fowl. But here the whale is named. Now, whales are not normal fish. Skeptics always like to point this out, because if Jonah were swallowed by a big fish, then when Jesus comes along and says that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, you have a problem. Because was he a fish or was he a whale? All right, well, he's in the water, so he's like a fish. But he's a mammal. She is a mammal. Whales are mammals like us. They're not altogether like the modern scientific classification of fish, yet Jesus called the fish a whale, which blows everybody's gasket. Very, very briefly, God says, in there it says, let the waters bring forth the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl may fly above the earth. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, and the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. When you read Jonah, it says, Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Now, scientists go, see, he wasn't a fish, it's a mammal. Because by kind, he's a fish and mammal. But the thing is, for the normal reader, it's in the water, it's a fish, all right? If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, looks like a duck, it's a duck, okay? Even though you can actually define that it's a mammal. But notice God puts him in the water. And Jesus calls him a whale, even though Jonah is called a fish. That's how God works. God likes to mess up the scientists, I believe, just like he messes up the religionists. Jesus said, go ahead, eat my flesh, drink my blood. So everybody gets the wrong idea. So according to man's definition, a whale is not a fish. But guess what? According to God, a whale is a fish.
Is a whale a fish?
I'm going to tell you. We're not... Just stop it! I'm using those words right here.
Go ahead, Pastor. Tony, the other one.
God says a whale is a fish. God can classify animals any way he wants to. Amen. He's God. He made them. It is man who came along later after the fact and decided to change the terms so they wouldn't fit together anymore. Do you believe God or man? If God says a whale is a fish, guess what I say? It's a fish.
So the mammal is man's.
Definition. Yes. Label. Okay. You got it? So, if God says a whale is a fish, by his definition, then it is incumbent on man to change their charts. Not for God to change his word. Let God be true and every man a liar. And that settles it. So, let's redo all the charts. So, you have fish, trout, sharks, swordfish, and fowl. Birds, crows, doves, swallows, eagles, etc. And these animals are commanded to multiply and fill up the seas. What a thought. What would have happened if the seas ever did fill up? Evidently, God knew that death was coming and wanted to make sure there was enough of a population of all the animal life to ensure it would survive when sin comes and ruins the world. Day 6. Here's the longest day. They made a movie called The Longest Day about D-Day. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after, according to his kind. And God saw that it was good. God said, okay, let us make man in our image now, after our likeness, plural, and let them, plural, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So Eve is not an afterthought, okay? He had designed Adam to need Eve. He just wanted to make sure Adam knew he needed Eve.
Why was Eve created?
I don't know, but it was toward the evening. Verse 28, and God blessed them. It was on the sixth day he made Eve. God blessed them, and God said unto them, huh?
On the sixth day?
I believe so, yes.
He created them. Yeah,
he just did it all day. I think it was. I think only. Again, there's not 30,000 different species like that. He named the kinds. There are probably two wolves, not 47 different dogs. You're a Pekingese. You're a Doberman. He didn't have to name all the dogs. Okay?
But the Norman God created all the animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did he make a lord of each kind? Or did he just make, like, in the beginning, did he just make fools? Or did he make...
I think he made loads all over the earth. But we're going to get to chapter 2, and it says he made another set just for Adam. He had his own personal zoo, and so all these guys come up out of the ground, because the birds are created out of the water in chapter 1, and then the birds come up out of the ground in chapter 2. So he's bringing all these things up to him, and he says, you're a crow. You're a magpie. If there are that many variations of birds, but a certain number of birds, certain number of mammals, certain number of zebras and everything else, okay? Number 28. So God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every herb. He didn't say every meat. He started with salads. He said every herb-bearing seed. So vegetables that had seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, for meal, we'd say, for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein is there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. You might notice in verse 30, it says, everything is going to eat salads. Verse 31, and God saw it. So you've got an animal like a panda bear. It has one of the sharpest teeth you'll ever see on a land animal. And what does he eat? Bamboo. He just eats bamboo sticks. He's not a carnivore, doesn't eat meat. So when you see Tyrannosaurus Rex and its massive teeth, he ate vegetables. He just crunched them very well.
So
yes, sir.
Fish, would they eat like seaweed and also?
Well, fish always eat seaweed. Yeah, unless if you want to go after the flood, they eat the carcasses of dead fish, or shark eat other fish. I agree, yes.
Sorry, Pastor, can I ask you a quick question? Mm-hmm. Can we wait till we're finished?
It depends if it's connected with this.
Yeah.
Do it now.
You said that God created Eve in the evening time.
Yeah.
just bear with me.
That was a joke. That's because he called her Eve. That was it. Sorry.
So when did he create her?
Sometimes. Look, it had been one day, so it's toward the end of the day.
Okay.
Because he has to go through a whole lot of animals. That's the point.
Okay, so, why would you not think that he would have created her during the day with Adam?
Oh, because if you remember, when we get to chapter 2, you'll see how Adam walks around, and at first he's delighted, but then he feels alone. So you got to have some time go by before the man feels alone. I mean, Graham, the first day that Gina was gone, happiest man on earth. Second day, happy. Third day, happy. Fifth day, sixth day, starting to go down. Seventh day, I miss you, baby. So Adam's got to have some time alone, walking around the earth, meeting animals, naming them, and it'll say, but he found none that were like him and that would be a companion to him. So he had to have some time pass before Eve is created, because God puts Adam to sleep and then gives him Eve out of his rib. So time has to take place, but it's all within one day. But he didn't create her right there with him. He's got to have a time.
Yeah, if we believe that a day is just literally
12 hours,
24 hours.
Yeah. So what are you saying?
He wouldn't have got lonely after a couple of hours. I mean,
you don't think so?
If he was too busy naming animals and
I'm not.
He's no friends.
Yeah, he's just walking around.
I know, but
I know is what it says happened, and you say, well, he wouldn't have been. I don't know. Evidently, he did feel alone.
He didn't see anything that was like him.
That's right. He's so looking around. He says, God, you made me for you. What'd you make for me? He makes some conclusions rather rapidly, Adam does. He's brilliant. He's the smartest man who's ever been made.
He'd be naming all of the male and females. You know,
he would have seen male, female, male, female, male, female. And he says, and he knew that he was created for the pleasure of God. And he said, so what'd you make for me? He says, just hold on.
But did he ask that question?
Well, no. But that's what it says, that God saw that it was not good that he was alone. So he's feeling something.
Okay.
All right. We'll get there when we get to chapter 2. Weston.
Yeah, Weston.
This is the way it goes. All right, quickly. And God saw, verse 31, that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And evening and the morning were the 6 days. So out of the ground came cattle, creeping things, all the insects, the flies, the gnats, the mosquitoes, the beasts, bears, lions, tigers, and the serpents. Them. We just read it. God said unto them, verse 28. Doesn't mention her by name. She's actually the description of it is chapter 2. So each animal was distinctly different than other animals. Got it. 3. Then came the last two creative acts of God, the creation of man, Adam, and the creation of woman, Eve. Two separate creative acts. If they had been formed simultaneously, there would have been no specialness to their relationship. So God is showing these two have a special relationship different than every other animal. Every other animal is instinctive. Female, me male, let's go. That's how the animal world is. But with man, it is gift from God. Gift from God. You brought us together. That is mankind. We don't just instinctively react like animals. I need a woman. That's what animals do. Man says, God, I need a wife. And I need you to give her to me. That's how we're supposed to be in a relationship. Number E, animals don't have relationships. God wanted to show between a man and his wife how God wants to have a relationship with us. Adam will be first, like Jesus. Eve, Christians will come along from both Adam and for Adam. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 11, 8. Ediberto.
For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man.
And then verse 9.
And neither was the man created for the woman.
Boy, I wish we'd tell all our wives that. Anyway, go ahead.
But the woman for the man.
All right. So, God designed the woman for the man, like God designed us for Christ. And more on that is in chapter 2, we'll see. So, God's defining something he's going to explain later on. Verse number 4, creation of Adam. He's created from dust, not from the clay, not from gold or platinum. He's created from dust. Dust is very hard to make anything from, would you agree? I mean, you can't even build something. You try to put water in it, it doesn't even pile on top of each other.
That's
the
soil, isn't
it? It sounds like it, but we come to the rest of the Bible, and about a dozen times it says dust, dust, dust. The worst part of the dirt God picked. When we say worst, meaning the most useless. So when God said, I'm going to make the best thing I can make, and I'm going to use the worst or the least good thing to make something great. And that encourages me. Yes, sir.
Dust is, you get dust in the form, like, it's not good. Do you know what I'm saying?
So? But that's, that God says, from dust I made great things, doesn't mean that dust is good for us.
So, like, you know, before the fall, if there was dust here, they never fell, right? And they had a house.
Right.
Would it still get dusty?
Yes. Okay. Your wife will still have to dust even in the New Jerusalem. Okay, quickly. Number 5, the image of God is the likeness of God, not physical. God made a body, but God didn't have a body. When God breathed into that body, man now became a living soul. B, the soul of a man is in the image of God, not his body or his spirit.
That's a Western question. If God didn't have a body, how's he walking around the garden and all that?
It says, the voice of the Lord God was heard in the garden and walked. The voice, so who's the voice?
God, Father,
God. No, Jesus. So Jesus took on the form of, like in the burning furnace, he took on the form of a man. Before he ever was born with a body, he looked like a man. So it was the Word of God walking in the garden.
Before mankind existed, then God didn't have a body. He didn't.
Like, he didn't have a body, but he could appear as a man.
He didn't sit on.
Because guess what the angels look like? Men.
Yes.
So he already had the design. He pulled out the old design and says, "I can make it better."
But wasn't it the same as well up in Mount Sinai when Moses went up there and God said, "You know, I'm going to put you in by the rocks, so you can't see me face to face."
That was God the Father.
But he did appear. Like as I said, I blocked it out
right.
with my hand.
Somehow he was there in power, in force, pushing everything out of the way, but he wasn't there in the form of a man. Okay? But there are times when God appears as a man. As a matter of fact, Abraham is sitting there talking to somebody. He calls him Jehovah, and he's in the shape, form of a man. So that's what you're looking at, okay? So that's your only Western question you're allowed. Okay. So all that God is, his characteristics, man obtain, like speech. God speaks, man speaks. Creativity, loneliness. Adam was a miraculous man. The day he entered into the world, he could not only speak, but he was able to correctly give names to every kind of animal in the world. And he says, no, you look kind of like that last animal, but you're different. He was smart. The image of God is what Jesus Christ is. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says Jesus is the image of God. So it is inside. It is referred to as what we call the inner man or the hidden man in the rest of the Bible. The inner man is the soul, and according to 1 Peter 3, it is not corruptible, it is eternal.
So if we say that if Jesus is God, when we know he is, okay, and God is spirit, and we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, okay? In heaven, in the outer heaven, the third heaven, where God reigns, mm-hmm. and where Jesus sits mm-hmm. on the right-hand side of the throne of God, is God going to be, will we actually see God? I don't know. I'm probably going to go a bit deep here with this, but will we actually see God Himself, or are we going to be like? Are we going to be looking at one? When we get to heaven, are we going to be looking at one being, or are we going to be looking? Or are we going to know three separate? I don't want to say entities, but
right.
Are we going to see three separate
beings.
Manifestations of God?
Of God. And the answer is unanswerable. I can only guess that we will see Jesus at the right hand like John does. I can only tell what John saw. John could see Jesus at the right hand of the Father. He knew that something was the Father, was the throne of God. He saw a throne of Jesus. I think God is light. It says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So there will be brighter than the sun. You will have this point of light that is so brilliant, and that's God the Father. Next to him will be Jesus Christ, also radiating, like on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter saw Jesus and Moses and Elijah. He saw Jesus brighter than the sun. The Holy Spirit, invisible. The Holy Spirit is only a spirit and only invisible. No Weston. I've got to finish up here. We've got to finish. Okay. So the image of God was not just in Adam, but also in Eve. So every human has the image of God in them. But it's marred now by sin, and it is still there. That's why Bible-believing missionaries go all over the world and preach not just to white boys, but to aborigines and slaves and prisoners and dying folks, because they all need their soul, which was made in the image of God, in the similitude of God, James says, and they need to be saved. So God always intended on making an Adam and an Eve. Eve was never an afterthought. And Eve definitely wasn't a mistake, although sometimes you wonder. All right, we got to stop there. You've got 2 minute break to stretch before we go to the next one.
Can I just ask the last question?
Now you can, yes.